Support for GLT's Grow comes from Wendell Niepegan Greenhouses, a huge selection of plants, gardening tools, and lawn and garden advice at Wendell Niepegan's on Fox Creek Road in Bloomington, where you're more than a customer, you're a friend. Details at niepegans.com. This is GLT.
You can grow a lot of things in soil, including mold. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field, from the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum, it's Patrick Murphy. Hi, Murph.
Laura, how are you?
I'm doing great. Glad you're here, because today on GLT's Grow, mold in the soil is what we're talking about and what to do about it. And this can happen inside and out.
It can. It happens in both places, and I think back to my years at working at, I've worked at three different garden centers in my career, and I always got a kick out of some of the predictability of complaints and concerns from gardeners.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always that spring weather with a little bit of warmth that really knocks off the cabin fever, and the grass starts greening up, and then phone calls and walk-in questions about, it looks like there's something vomiting in my landscape,
okay.
Or there's this
vomit
strange.
In the landscape. I'm always looking for
we
that.
We haven't talked about that much yet, but
let's talk about vomiting.
And
in
it
the
ends up being mold most of the time.
So is it chunky, or is it like green, or
sometimes
white?
It's foamy. It looks like it's risen from the ground,
because
it has, you know. Mm-hmm. And other times it's like a splatter of something was there. It seems understandable that it could be mistaken for vomit, especially if you're close to a bar or something, I imagine.
But is this really bad news?
It's not always bad news.
Huh.
You know, there are some molds and fungi that we'll talk about that you don't want anything to do with. But, you know, most of them are relatively harmless. And I say relatively harmless because I've heard of instances where dogs and household pets have dined on some mold and it upset their stomach.
And so you had real vomit.
Then there was, that was the before and the after comparisons. That's not vomit. That's vomit. But there are a way to look at this, and I'm hoping this makes it easy.
Uh-huh.
There are three kind of categories. So there's the harmless yet ugly saprophyte type of mold. And then we have the more important decomposer type molds, and they are colonizers and they work with other plants. And then there's the bad ones. There's the pathogens.
Okay, so let's start with the ones that aren't that bad.
The saprophyte and the mycorrhizal type fungi. Mycorrhizal fungi creates like a network, a web, if you will, in the soil. And it actually is an extension of plants' roots. And in exchange for carbon that it gets from these plants' roots, particularly woody plants and trees, it helps with nutrient cycling, and it helps control the nutrients in a manner that makes them easy for the plant to take them up.
Well, how about that? That's helpful.
And in today's modern practice of arboriculture, particularly if you live in a metropolitan area, mycorrhizal fungi injections into the soil are really a great service. It's a proven technique, and it basically extends the roots, like I said. So if you live in Naperville or you live in the heart of Chicago, either one, there's lots of curbs and sidewalks and parking lots, and buildings are closer together,
mm-hmm.
and there's less room for the roots to travel. And this is a huge benefit. The mycorrhizal type fungi is usually in the earth, in the soil particles, and you wouldn't see it unless you went looking for it. Whereas the saprophyte, the harmless yet ugly kind, it is right on the surface. And some people want to eliminate it because it's a hygiene practice in preventing root rot. A lot of the plants in our landscape are susceptible to that root rot.
You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. This week, dealing with mold in the soil, and I have firsthand experience with root rot.
Yes, in a houseplant?
Actually, in a rose bush.
In a rose bush. Okay, so then that's how we can segue. So if the mold grows there to the extent that it starts to develop a problem in the roots, it's probably not the saprophyte or the mycorrhizal. It's some other kind.
Okay.
And they can be treated with fungicides, but usually what you have to do is replace that plant with something that's not susceptible to the condition.
So really read the tag when you're buying a plant.
And roses are a reliable much loved in the past and in the future ornamental. They got to be in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
They are susceptible to root rot because of their location, not because of the plant themselves,
yeah.
Right? So that's another
way. I had
it
in a very wet location.
Yeah, sure. So a downspout or
yep.
West or southern exposure where the rain can collect but still get a little heat from the sun, those are good places for the mold to occur. Wanted to let everybody know with houseplants, it's a little bit more urgent for you to deal with it just because it can become unpleasant in appearance and you can breathe this stuff in.
Oh, so get rid of it.
Yeah, and it's a simple practice. Scrape, scratch, claw, cut, wipe away, whatever you got to do, wipe it away and replace any soil that's displaced from that removal with new fresh soil right out of the bag.
And don't overwater.
Don't overwater and don't place the plant right back in the same spot. And remember, there's conditions that cause that mold to grow.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably not getting enough sunlight, and it might need some fertilizer.
Okay.
And so let's talk about these bad fungi.
Yeah, let's give the bad guys a
spotlight. There's verticillium, which we've heard of because it attacks maples and olives, and our smoke bushes on campus in the arboretum, they almost all have some kind of detrimental fungi in the form of the verticillium. There's also pythium, which is common in attacking our turf and our lawns. And there's rhizocotonia, which is common with holly and azalea, so your broadleaf evergreen shade-loving plants.
So
and again, turf.
Will this kill?
It can.
Okay.
And it often does. And sadly, there are a few fungicides that can be applied to the landscape, but a lot of them require licensing, PPE, which is personal protective equipment.
So maybe I should hire someone to do that?
You would want to hire, and you'd want to make for darn sure that the fungus that you have can be treated with the fungicide that you're about to use, because that a lot of times the two trains pass each other that way because the intent is there, but they haven't identified the fungus all the way.
Mm-hmm.
The main thing to keep in mind with plants that are susceptible to the verticillium wilt in particular, it's the wrong plant in the wrong place that led that to happen. You could spend all your retirement's fortune on fungicides and having people come out to spray and treat and cook and all this stuff, and it might not change anything. So
what you've got to do is change what you're planting where.
That's right. That's right. Go to the right plant in the right place, find something that's resistant to that verticillium or the pythium or the rhizo, whatever it may be. So you lose your azaleas, try some Irish holly instead.
So what else is good that's good and resistant to mold?
Well, moss. We've talked about moss
I
gardens.
I love moss!
It's good and resistant to mold. And plants that are native to an area are usually less susceptible. It's the adaptable plants, in my opinion, that are the ones that people are fighting to keep alive all the time. So your azaleas, they're not from the Midwest. They're from Asia or China.
Oh.
And as much as I love the ones I have, I do, and I look forward to seeing them bloom, but I have no one to blame but myself if there becomes a problem with the mold in the soil.
Okay,
yeah.
So native plants, you know, we say this all the time at Grow Corporate, native plants, native plants, native plants.
There's a lot of virtue to it, and with the proper planning and all the design principles applied, you can knock it out of the park.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Murph.
Thank
Next
you.
Week, Kelly Alsup from the University of Illinois Extension Office is going to come up and join us to talk about a lovely plant called Tillandsia. Now, if you've got a gardening question or a problem that you'd like Murph to take on, just go to our website, wglt.org/grow, fill in the form, and send it along to us. And it's possible your question will get answered on the air. Just submit those questions on our website. It's at wglt.org/grow.